Well, good evening, each one, and I greet you in Jesus' name. It is actually a privilege to be here. I've wondered about that, what I would say when I got up here, but it is a privilege to be here and to see you. You have sent a very fine representation of your church to Arkansas to represent you, and I'm glad I learned to know Jason in the past. Well, how long has it been? I forget. Almost a year. Not quite a year. Yeah. Has been a very good experience for us. And I'm glad that my family is along with me. They didn't want to come up front, so I'm not going to make them come up front. They're very glad for that. And you know, it's good to put my feet under Mom's table again. I don't know how y'all find that, but it feels kind of good once again. And I'm glad that my mother has a husband to take care of her as well. So thank you for your part in that, if you had anything to play in that. One of the things that I was worried about being here in this congregation is that I do not know very many of you. And that really bothers me, because I like speaking to people that I know, and I'm pretty sure I'm not going to remember your names in this short time that we're out here. But I do want to learn to know you, and you have the unfair advantage of there just being one of me and there's a whole bunch of you, but that's okay. This week, my mind has been going to the concept of what it means for us as followers of Jesus to produce fruit. So what does that mean for us? Now, probably part of what has affected me is my longing for spring and the anticipation of things beginning to grow. In Arkansas, things get pretty brown during the winter. And I came here and there's green grass. I thought, wow, this must be almost like paradise if there's green grass all winter long. But I realize that it's not. but part of the thing that I'm thinking about is what makes us as Christians produce fruit and what makes us not produce fruit? And I'd like to look at that concept a little bit more throughout this week. And so tonight is a kind of an introduction to that, and begin to open this can of what is taking place inside our lives. Now, I do find it a little bit ironic that someone from Arkansas comes to the Willamette Valley and talks about producing fruit and growing things. Where I come from, we don't know a lot about this. We struggle to produce things in our gardens. We work and we toil and we sweat and we water and we produce this meager harvest that often is covered with worms. And y'all would laugh at some of the things we produce in our gardens. So I find that kind of ironic. But yet I wonder if maybe our spiritual lives are a little bit like that at times as well. We have just perfect conditions for producing a lot of fruit, and we just do a pretty pitiful job of it. You know, in Arkansas, we know when we need to plant seeds. We know that if you want to raise English peas, you have to plant them early, because it gets hot in Arkansas. But if you want to grow okra, you have to wait until it's hot to plant those seeds, or else your okra is just going to sit there and mope around in the cold. We know when we need to plant things. And I'm sure you know the same thing, and you know all about having quality seeds to plant. You don't just plant any old seed if you want something to produce good fruit. You get the best. But I would like to liken, use the illustration. Tonight I want to use the illustration of the parable of the sower to get us started. And that's going to be our jumping off point. Probably going to be referencing back to that quite a bit throughout the next week here, thinking about what is taking place in our lives. What is happening inside of our hearts? What is causing us to produce fruit, or what is causing us to not produce fruit in our spiritual lives? Once again, I don't know you very well. Jason did not give me any clues about what is taking place out here. I'm here clueless. But I want to preach the Word of God. And I want the Word of God to touch your hearts and your lives. I was blessed by the song that was sung, the first song we sang tonight, Open Wide Thy Heart Today. That's the first time I sang that song. Open Wide Thy Heart Today. I trust that's our heart's cry tonight. That we are opening our hearts wide and saying, God, I don't know what you have to say to me, but I want to hear from you. In Arkansas, you're probably going to hear a lot about Arkansas because that's where I come from. It gets pretty dry in the summertime, summer and fall time. The ground gets really, really hard at times. And then we pray for rain. And we get pretty serious about it. We say, God, we need some rain or stuff's going to start dying. And we pray for rain. You know, when the rain comes, when the ground is really hard, what happens to that first rain? You should know. Maybe you don't know. Does it soak in? No, it runs off. Water runs everywhere. And it takes a little while till the ground even softens up enough that the rain can soak in. You know, I think our hearts are a little bit like that at times. Sometimes it takes an awful lot of rain, spiritual rain, to soften up our hearts enough that we can even receive the Word of God. I trust that's not that way here, but I think I find myself in that way. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. I'd like to begin this, before I read this parable, parable of the sower, I'd like to begin by asking a few questions. And what are you cultivating in your life? What are you growing in your life? What things are you giving attention to in your life? What are you doing with? I believe that all of us have weeds in our lives. What are you doing with the weeds in your life? Are you cultivating them, or are you getting rid of them? And what do we do when people point out the weeds in your life, in my life? And do we understand how to cultivate good things in our hearts? You know, many of us, suppose you look like ordinary human beings to me, we go to great lengths to be successful in many areas of our lives. We put a lot of effort into it. I do. I do carpenter work, residential construction, you name it. And I go to great lengths to do my best in that, in the areas that I'm in. The field that I work in, I try to do my best in that. I'm sure you do that here too. You strive for excellence because people notice that. You know, I try to keep my grass mowed at home because when it looks nice. Well, actually, I don't have to do it anymore. I got a boy that'll do it for me. But I crack the whip and make him go do it so that our yard looks nice and people say, wow, those are some upper class people. They take care of their yard. And by the way, in Arkansas, if you mow your grass, you're on the next level. Not everybody mows their yard. Y'all ought to come visit us. More of y'all ought to come visit the rednecks in Arkansas. You know, but how many of us are willing to put as much effort into our spiritual life as we put into the rest of our life? Do we strive for excellence in our spiritual life? I'm going to read Luke chapter 8, verses 5. I believe I'm going to read verses 5 through 15. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." I'm going to jump down to verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Now here we have a parable that Jesus gave. Jesus gave parables so that people would understand His message and follow His teachings. I like illustrations. I like things that capture my attention. I remember those better. And these parables, and especially this parable that Jesus gave, illustrates His teaching. And it challenges the listeners to make a decision. Some of the decisions that we make, that we have to make those decisions on our own, are the most lasting decisions. If we're forced into making a decision, we sometimes drag our feet pretty long. But if we realize that this is what I want to do, we put all our effort into that decision. And that's what Jesus did with the parables. He presented things to people, and they had to make a decision themselves. Jesus wanted the people that listened to Him to understand His message and to experience the fullness of life dedicated to the principles of God's reign. I did skip over verse 10, if you notice that, because I'm not sure what to do with that. Because the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Why do you speak in parables?" Jesus said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand." I don't understand what Jesus was saying by that entirely. And yet, I believe that today, there are those of us that understand the parables, and there are those of us that don't understand the parables. And I trust that we can be those that do understand. One more illustration. I heard of a man recently, I heard this story recently, and this man moved to a new area, and he left fertile area where things just grew. He had a really good garden, he said. And he moved to an area, it must have been a little bit like Arkansas, it was rocky and really poor soil. The first year he moved, he went out and he broke up a piece of land to plant a garden. And it was full of rocks, and the soil was hard clay, it didn't produce anything. It was discouraging. So he got a bright idea. That fall, he got in several skid steers and a big dirt sifter and some dump trucks, and he got busy. And they went down several feet in this area where he wanted his garden and dug up the dirt, and they sifted it all and hauled away the rocks and left the dirt. And then he hauled in a whole bunch more dirt and put it in there where he wanted his garden. He said that he hauled off somewhere around 64 tons of rock out of that garden area and replaced it with good dirt. He said the next spring he went and the dirt was soft and it worked really good. He could grow something. You know, I have a garden like that where it's full of rocks, but I'm too lazy to go take those rocks out. I say, well, we can make do with what we got. Jesus talked about people like that, that are too lazy to do what they need to do to produce good fruit. And we'll be looking at that some more this week, later on. Looking at this parable of Jesus just a little bit here. Now, I find it interesting. My Bible has the heading, The Parable of the Sower. And it talks about the sower sowing his seed. It talks about where the seed landed. But I find it interesting that the most emphasis is placed on the areas that the seed landed. It doesn't give us a lengthy description of the sower, but it talks about the types of soil the seed landed on. And that is the focus. Because if it were a parable about the sower, it would focus on the preacher, how he preaches, the things he says, the mannerisms, his style. And that would give us some different things to think about. If it was a parable about the seed, it would focus on what is preached, what is said, the nature of what is said. But this parable is focused on the response of the people. Maybe this parable should be called the parable of the hearers instead of the parable of the sowers. Because this is a parable of the harvest. The sower is very important. The seed is very important. But really the most important part is what type of soil did the seed land on? And what happened to it? Was it able to germinate? Did it have enough moisture that it could continue to grow? And so on. This parable is concerned with the responses of the people. And that's where Jesus caught people's attention. Jesus knew where to go. He knew how to get people's attention. Let's look just a little bit at the main characters in this parable. Go through here quickly. You know, what time was I supposed to quit?
Whenever you're done.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Let's look at the main characters here. In this parable, we have the sower. Let's talk about him just a little bit. Now, in this parable, we can kind of get the picture that Jesus was the one sowing the Word. You know, but Jesus is also the Word. The seed is the Word of God, as the explanation said. The seed is the Word of God. And here Jesus is Himself the Word, and He is also spreading the Word. Jesus, when He left this earth, if you recall, when He gave, we call it the Great Commission. He gave the Great Commission to His disciples. He said, now this is what I've been doing. This is what Jesus said in essence. He said, I have been teaching you. Now you go and you teach. Jesus passed this privilege on of being a sower to those that were His followers. And I believe that we are His followers, the followers of Jesus today. We have the privilege of being a sower today. I wonder how good we are doing with being a sower. How are you doing with telling your neighbors about Jesus? You sowing the seed? I mean, listen, I'm talking to myself. You know, when I say how are y'all doing, I'm talking about myself as well. And yet, how are we doing in sowing the seed that we have been trusted with? Are we hoarding it? How are you doing as a church? Telling others at church what God is doing in your life? Telling others as a church about what God is doing with you. You know, Jesus commissioned His followers to be sowers. He gave us a responsibility to spread the Word of God. Maybe this is how you think. This is how I think. You know, we've got some pretty bad spots in our yard. And I'm just a little bit lazy. I don't like to fertilize my yard because if you fertilize it, you have to mow it. And mowing takes work and takes gas and just, it's a lot of work. So it's easier not to fertilize and have a little trashy looking yard. But you know, there's a place in our yard that needs some grass seed. I tell you what, I got really fired up about grass seed today. I've seen enough grass seed today to do quite a bit. But anyway, I don't get grass seed because it just doesn't seem worth the bother or expense of getting grass seed because probably it's just going to die anyway. It gets dry during the summer. It's not used to, there's not much sense in going to all that effort. You know, that is often the way that I view being a sower in the kingdom of God. I say, you know, if I go talk to my neighbor, he's just going to say, well, that's just what you think. And he's going to give me a little bit of a, he's going to look at me just a little bit funny. I say, well, it's probably better not to even make any mention of that. Maybe I don't know what your excuses are. That's one of my excuses. But a great hindrance for me, and I believe for us, in being a sower in the kingdom of God, is a lack of motivation. And here's where I wish I'd know you as a church better. To know what you do, what you put effort into, how you are sowing the Word of God to those around you. But we are called to be sowers and to sow the seed. We have a responsibility. We have a calling. We have been given a calling. And you know that if you don't plant anything, you won't get any harvest. That's just one of those sad facts of life. If you don't plant anything, you don't get any harvest. Going on, the seed. Let's talk about the seed a little bit. The explanation here says that the seed is the Word of God. This is the teachings that that Jesus gave to us, the understanding of the Scripture, and understanding how we should live. You know, there is not a limited supply of seed in the kingdom of heaven. You ever considered that? We're not going to run out. We're not going to exhaust the seed. The Word of God continues on. People have been reading the Word of God for thousands of years. And it's still there. There's still a fresh supply. We will never be able to pass on a greater amount of, I'm going to use the word seed. We're never going to be able to talk to our neighbors more than we will receive from the Word of God. And it is not wasteful to spread the Word of God, even if it seems impossible that it will not produce. Take my illustration of this sowing grass seed in my yard. There is probably really a pretty good possibility that it won't grow. It's pretty rough in Arkansas. You know, so there is some truth to my fear there. I've got some grounds for that. But in being a sower in the kingdom of God, if the seed does not take root and grow, it is not being wasteful to spread it. I've heard that it takes on average 7 times of presenting the gospel to the person before they are interested in it, before they act on hearing the Word of God. 7 times. You know, maybe you're number 3, maybe you're number 4. Every now and then we are blessed with being number 7 in our spreading the Word of God. And yet, all those other times were not wasted because that was preparation of the heart for people to receive and hear the Word of God. Seed, in a physical sense, is not meant to be left in the bag. Say, we got that bag of seed. It's doing me a lot of good. I put that bag of seed in my shed and say, well, I got grass seed for my yard. That does not do any good. We have to spread it. Don't you see how ironic it is for this fellow from Arkansas to talk about seed? You know about this. And yet this is a truth in the kingdom of God, that we are called to be sowers, to go out and spread the Word of God. You know, when Jesus gave the Great Commission to His disciples, and that commission is passed on to us, they were told to go. and spread the seed. They were not told necessarily to decide where the seed got sown. They were told to go and preach the gospel. If you recall, there was different places that Jesus told them to go. He said, go and just go all over the world and do it. Regardless of whether you think it's going to be beneficial there. So we are called to spread the word of God, to be sowers in the kingdom of God. Let's look just a little bit at the soil. We have four different types of soil here, and we'll probably look at this a little more in depth later on this week. I'm not going to take too much time on this tonight. But this is the real heart of this parable. Because these different types of soil represent the different responses of people to the Word of God. And the effect that Jesus wants the Word of God to have on people's lives. Remember I said this parable is concerned about the responses of people to the Word of God. So what is taking place in our lives? How are we responding to the Word of God? You know, there are days when I wish I was a farmer. But I hear that farmers know their soil. These days, I guess, they're getting pretty high tech. They've got these GPS mapping systems, and they know what soil needs what type of fertilizer and how much seed you can put in certain areas. And when you come back to fertilize, you put more fertilizer. I guess they do that. You know, farmers are pretty knowledgeable. You know, our lives are the same. You know, God knows who of us are more receptive to His Word. He knows who of us open our hearts to Him. And yet He's not like those farmers that put a bunch on the good ground and a little bit on the poor ground. God comes and He sows the seed. Just put the bunch even on the poor ground. And He knows our hearts. You know, at times we wonder why our experiences are not the same as others around us. You know, it's the same reason. God knows our hearts. He knows what we need. Sometimes we need the chisel plow to break us up. And sometimes we don't need that. I don't know what all you do. But let's look at these different types of soil just briefly here tonight. There's the wayside. These are those that hear but don't let the Word of God take root in their lives. The unprepared places, the hard places. You know, this is a part of man's field that others use. And this time in Jesus' time, and it could have been that Jesus was walking along a field and watching a man sow. Now, I think that, as I understand it, you were allowed to walk around the edges of people's fields. You didn't necessarily make a path right down the middle. Isn't that the way it is today? If you need to go through somebody's field, you go around the edge. You don't say, well, I need to get... You drive straight across the field. That makes farmers unhappy, as I understand. You know, that's likely what it was. It likely around the edge. There was a hard place. And the seed wasn't able to grow there. Jesus said, these are the people that hear but do not understand. And the devil comes and takes the Word of God out of their lives. It's like those birds. They come and they pick up the seeds right off the top of the ground and they eat them. Don't even give a chance to germinate. Now I know that I sometimes have those hard places in my life where I have these preconceived ideas that I'm pretty sure this is how it is. And if I hear a different idea, I say, no, that can't be it. You know, we do have those areas in our lives that are a little bit hard. Or we may be allowing ourselves to be distracted so that we don't have to hear. Do we allow distractions in our lives? I'm afraid we do. You know, Jesus said that the wicked one is ready to take the seed away as soon as he can. If he sees it uncovered, he wants to snatch it away before it can do any good. We're going to talk about that some more later on this week. It was a sad state to be in, to have a hard heart. and not allow the Word of God to touch our lives. Let's talk just a little bit about the stony places. They on the rock. There are those that are glad to hear the Word of God and rejoice in new life. You know, so this may be self-effort. This may be those that say, you know, we can do this. I can do this. Have you ever been on an emotional high? What do? You crash. And then you look for the next high. You know, that's what happens to the people who have, where there's not enough dirt to make things grow. I understand about rocky places. You've got to get the rocks out of the way so that the plants, in a physical way, you've got to get the rocks out of the way so the plants can take root and go down in there. Because when the sun comes or discouragement comes, it's easy to wither away. And Jesus talked about those people. The answer is not to try harder, but the answer is go to the one who can help to take out those rocks out of our lives. Look at the thorny place just a little bit. Thorny place are those that are glad to hear the Word of God. They want something better than what they have. And yet, thorns or weeds or the bad things flourish where other things struggle to grow. I've noticed that weeds grow without doing any work to them. You don't have to worry about it. You let something go and the weeds will come up just right away. If you don't keep after it, the weeds will take over. You know, that's physical, in the physical sense. The natural result is that weeds grow. I believe our lives, our spiritual lives, are like that as well. Inattention produces weeds. We can't say, well, I put a lot of effort into my spiritual life when I was 19. I must be good to go. It doesn't work that way, because inattention in our spiritual life produces weeds. You know, thorns and weeds are consuming and will take over in a very short time. And they're extremely hard to eradicate. I have a man who doesn't live real close to us, but he lets thistles grow in his field. In a whole entire field, this is pasture land for beef cattle, whole entire field was covered with thistles. These were pretty thistles. I mean, they got, probably this tall, and they had these nice purple flowers on them. You know those type of thistles? They look real pretty for just a little bit. And those purple flowers turn white, and all those seeds go floating all over. Now, the annoying thing about thistle seeds is that they can survive for 7 years, I believe. You know how much damage one thistle field can cause? A man from our church lived next door to this man, and he would get so, can I use the word, irritated at the neighbor man for not taking care of his thistle field, because it spread over into his field and he had a problem. You know, I believe that that's what happens in our lives as well. We sometimes allow things to grow in our hearts, in our lives, that end up affecting other people and causing wrong things to grow in other people's lives as well. We'll talk about that just a little bit more later on then. What about the good ground? The good ground is those that hear the Word, understand what they hear, and make application into their lives. And this is the whole point of the parable, to illustrate how things should be in our lives. This is what Jesus wants to see from us. He wants to see soil that is prepared. And we'll talk about what it means to prepare our hearts in a later message here. Because I'm not sure how much of this preparation we actually do. Who does the preparation in our spiritual lives? Are we supposed to be the ones to eradicate all the problems? How much responsibility do we have there? We want to talk about it some more. But when sun comes, when the difficulties come to the good soil, the heat makes the crop grow. The same thing that killed the crop on the stones produces fruit on the good ground. In the good ground, the thorns are rooted out so that they cannot grow again. You know, I used to dig thistles in our field at home. We had a little pasture field. And us boys, we had to dig thistles in that field. And we worked hard at it. We would dig them every summer. I bet it was 7 years. You know, there's not any thistles in that field anymore. And it was worth the effort. It is the same way in our spiritual lives. It is worth the effort to get rid of the harmful things so that good fruit can grow in our lives. You know, because the things that harm the stony ground, the hard ground, those things that harm the seed, the things that harm the seed on the other grounds are helpful in the good ground. What about fruit? Let's talk about fruit just a little bit. Isn't that what we all want? That's what I believe. That's what we want to produce fruit. We want to have something good. You know, fruit is what comes out of our lives when we are squeezed. How many of you get squeezed? What comes out of your life? If you take a grape and squeeze it, the juice comes out, and you have something delicious. How many of you have taken something like a crab apple and squeezed it? Do you get good things out of that? No. You know, that's fruit, isn't it? Sometimes we have good fruit, and sometimes we have bad fruit. So I believe we need to be careful and look and see what our lives are producing. You know, artificial fruit can be manufactured, but real fruit comes out of a good plant. Every now and then, we buy oranges at home. And some of those oranges, you know, were green when they picked them, and they spray-painted them orange and sent them to the store. Because when you open them up, they're just as tasteless and as dry as you ever did see. We live far from California, by the way, and far from Florida. You know, our lives are a little bit like that. Sometimes, you ever seen somebody that you thought was producing good fruit? And you checked into it just a little bit, and you discovered that it was just spray painted on top of there. There wasn't anything to that person at all. I believe that we need to be careful what fruit we produce. Galatians 5 talks about the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. Now we can work or we can produce fruit. And this is a concept that I want to keep looking at as we go on. And this is going to come later on this week. But I want to look at the concept of how we produce fruit. You know, fruit, if we look at John 15, and we want to look at that later on this week, fruit comes from abiding in Jesus. Abiding in the vine. Did it ever say in John 15 that we need to work to produce fruit? Read that. He said, abide in me, and my words abide in you. You know, work brings sweat and calluses. When we try to work things, Galatians talks about the works of the flesh. They're not good things. But the fruit comes from abiding in Jesus. So we're looking at, this week we want to look at producing fruit and what causes us to struggle to produce fruit and what to do if the fruit that we see in our lives is bad fruit. And understand what the Word of God says to us and how we can become people that have good ground, have clean hearts, have pure hearts, that can produce good fruit for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Fruit bearing is not so that we look good, so that people think well of us, so that we can, have some self-acclaim. Fruit bearing is to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ, and that is what we want to do in our lives. You know, Jesus was interested in the people that He spoke to when He gave this parable of the sower. He was interested in their hearts. He was concerned about their hearts. And Jesus is interested and concerned about our hearts today as well. And Jesus is still looking for people that have their hearts turned to Him. Hearts that are open to receive the Word of God. Jesus is looking for people who will allow Him to modify their hearts so they are able to produce much fruit. This parable talked about people that are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of this life and don't produce fruit. Jesus is looking for people who have hearts like little children that are not burdened with those things and that hinder their fruit bearing. I trust that we can become people that hear the Word of God and understand it, become mature Christians, produce fruit to maturity, and that we can become sowers in the Word of God. And I don't know what all is taking place in your life. I don't know what all distractions are taking place in your life. We all have them. I have them. I have things that get on my mind and that just, I can't, it's hard for me to actually focus on anything else. I don't know what all things you're sticking in your spiritual ears so that you can't hear the Word of God. But I pray that tonight and this week, all of us, me included, would allow our ears to be opened so that we can be people that have ears to hear and that we hear. And that when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we will listen and obey. And I trust that's your heart's cry as well. And that's my heart's cry for us this week as well. And you know, I really like this time change between us and Arkansas. It's 2 hours difference. Because you know what? When we get here to church at 7:30, folks at home are going to bed. And they're saying their bedtime prayers. And that's when God reminds them to pray for us. So you can remember that when we're sitting in church, there's people in Arkansas that are saying their bedtime prayers and praying that the Word of God could reach our ears. And that is a blessing to me. So may we open our hearts and our spiritual ears to the Word of God in this coming week. And that's for me and for all of us as well. Why don't we kneel for a word of prayer?